This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation. Plus free samples and free shipping.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom mock-ups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Deck your home this holiday season with Blinds.com. Save up to 40% on select styles, plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Texas House Committee is looking into the whole case of shaken baby syndrome. This is Robert Roberson's case. They didn't get to hear from Robert Roberson today.
Roberson was under subpoena to testify, but for the second time since October, he wasn't there.
My expectation was that we would have Robert Roberson here to speak with us. But that won't be happening today, and I'm sure you've all seen the motion filed by the Attorney General's office. And I'll tell you right now that it's filled with dishonest and factually disprovable claims about the process that we have engaged in.
Committee Chairman Joe Moody says Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is now running out the clock, waiting for the committee's term to expire so the state can execute Roberson. Committee members feel Roberson is actually innocent in the death of his daughter. From the 24-hour news center, LP Phillips News, Radio 1080 KRLD.
Arlington police say four people are responsible for a crime spree, and now they have been charged with capital murder.
Sunday morning, police say Juan Soso was getting into his car in a parking lot when four men pulled up behind him in a Honda Civic and jumped out. They demanded he give them the keys to his car. Before he could, one of the men shot Sosa. He died 2 days later in a hospital. Police found the Civic and another car and were able to arrest the four men involved in Sosa's death. Investigators found out the men had stolen both cars and used them in another crime. They had actually tried to force their way into a woman's home when her boyfriend tried to chase them off with a bat. One of the men pulled out a gun and fired at the home, striking the woman and grazing her dog. One of the men is 20 years old, two are 17, and the fourth even younger than that. From the 24-hour news center, Austin, York News Radio 1080, KRLD.
Well, for a week now, Plano cops have been trying to find the person that hit a child walking to school before driving off. Now they say they know who it is. It happened last Thursday morning in Plano. Home surveillance footage shows a child with a backpack crossing the street. Car drives up and hits the kid. He could be heard screaming while flipping over the hood of the car. Child gets up. The driver is seen backing up and driving away. Police now say they've ID'd the driver and spoken with her. She told the officers she deeply regrets not staying there. No arrest yet, as they're working with the DA's office in Collin County.
Holiday travel, often stressful, and it can ramp up when you have young family members in the mix. KRLD's Georgia Alfredis is at DFW Airport getting holiday travel tips from the pros.
And by pros, we mean moms. Mary from Dallas is traveling with her family of five, including three little ones aged 3 to 7.
Give me some really good travel tips for traveling with little ones.
Encourage them to sleep the night before and have some headphones for some Audible books.
For you or for them?
For both.
Is there anything you can't do without when you're traveling with kids?
My kids, basically. You don't want a home alone moment.
At DFW, I'm George Alfredis, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
KRLD Airport Travel Update.
At the airports right now, we're seeing about 250 delays, 3 cancellations so far at the big airport. Also at Love Field, 108 flights delayed and 3 cancellations so far. If you're heading towards security at Love Field, pretty good right now. Just 3 minutes, 2 minutes, both in regular TSA and general boarding. At DFW Airport, that's where you're seeing a little bit more of the heavier traffic getting through security. It's 20 plus minutes at gate C20. Remember, Terminal C is having some construction, so it's really tough to park at Terminal C. You might want to go to A or B or D and then take the tram over to Terminal C if you've got a flight out. D18 is also crowded, so is E8.
High school football, the state championship games continue today at AT&T Stadium. We had 2A Division I last night. Help me out, Chris. Is it Ganado or Ganado?
I believe it's Ganado.
Ganado.
And that one went to overtime, right?
Yeah, they beat Stamford in that. And then the 3A games, Columbus down in South Texas, they beat Malakoff.
I know where Columbus is because that's kind of near where our family farm is.
And Malakoff just down there by Cedar Creek. So they won that one. And then Gunter shut out Woodville for the state championship in Division 3A, Division 2.
I had all my money on Woodville.
And today we get into 4A, and then 5A, and 6A. We got the big boys coming. And 3 more North Texas teams are going to play for championships. Highland Park, South Lake Carroll, and North Crowley. We just happened to have the play-by-play announcers for 2 of those 3 teams working for us here at KRLT.
What are the odds?
Russell Scott, he calls the games for the Highland Park Scots, and he's with us on the phone right now. Now they're going to play Smithson Valley tomorrow at 11, and Chris Blake, our own Chris Blake, he does games for the South Lake Carroll Dragons. They're going to play Austin Vandergriff tomorrow at 3, and Chris is in studio with us right now. Let's start with Chris. South Lake Carroll.
Vandergriff.
I keep waiting for him to get knocked off, and it hadn't happened.
I know. This has been a little bit of a
surprise.
A surprising run just looking at the scores for them. You're used to seeing the Dragons, especially in the earlier rounds, with double-digit wins over a lot of these teams. But really since the second round of the playoffs, they've been in a lot of tight games, which probably benefits you when you get later into games and you're just used to having that heart rate slow down in the fourth quarter a little bit.
I watched that game last weekend with South Lake Carroll. I was at SMU and they played Longview and won on 2 field goals. Basically, one was called back. It was They missed it, and then a penalty by Longview gave them another shot, and they made it 20-17. It was a nail biter. I would be remiss if I didn't mention a friend of mine. Her son is the main DB right now for South Lake Carroll, Ethan Fisher, who had an awesome game. That game picked off one, then batted one down. But how do you think Austin Vandergriff? What do you think about them?
I think it's going to be tough. They've got one of the best defenses that Carroll will face this season. I mean, I think when I say tough, it's going to be an evenly matched game. I think once you get to this point in the season, there's not a huge difference between the teams that are left. And yeah, Vandergriff hangs its hat on its defense. I've learned a lot about the school this week prepping for it. Relatively new high school, opened in 2010, but they've had a ton of success in football. They've made the state championship game now 2 times in the last 3 years.
Wow.
If I were up in the booth with you tomorrow and I were helping you call that game, what name would I have the most trouble with?
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For Carroll, there's not a ton of difficult ones. They've got a receiver whose last name is Jacquemard.
Oh.
But that's not...
That might get me in trouble.
So they're not like Trinity. They don't have a bunch of Tongan players.
No, Carroll did play Trinity this year, and that was...
That was a tough one for you?
It was challenging, but you get them down before the game, and as the game goes on, you get more comfortable with it.
Absolutely. All right, now we've got Russell Scott. Highland Park Scots. Russell's with us right now. He calls the games for Highland Park. How'd you get that gig? Highland Park, they probably pay you $10,000 a game.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, a little bit more than that, but you know.
Don't sell yourself short.
Okay. Somebody recommended me back in, I've been doing this since 2007.
Wow.
First year I did it, they played in the state championship and lost to Lake Travis. And I thought, hey, this is going to be great. We'll go to the state championship every single year. But doesn't quite work out like that. But we did have the three, 16, 17, and 18.
That was John Stephen Jones, right?
Yeah, two of those were John Stephen Jones. And then the year before I got there, or 2 years before I got there, Matthew Stafford led them to the undefeated season in 2005. By the way, I did want to jump in and tell you it's Ganado.
Ganado.
And it's down near Victoria.
Right.
So it's not too far from Schulenburg.
Columbus. Anyway. Columbus is who I was talking about. They were in there as well.
Oh, okay.
So Highland Park today, are they going to be raising the trophy after this weekend?
You know, I think they've got a really good shot at winning the game because they're deeper and their offense has gotten a lot better. You know, they've only got a sophomore at quarterback. Only the second time that Coach Allen's had a sophomore starting at quarterback. The first one was a guy named Matthew Stafford. And Buck Randall has gotten better every week. You know, I will tell you, at the beginning of the season, we looked at this and thought, man, I'm not sure how far they can go. But he got better and better, and he settled in, and he's starting to recognize things, and the game has slowed down. And you know, he's thrown for 3,600 yards and really has done a nice job.
I got a question for you. If Highland Park played Carroll, who would win? Both of you,
weigh in. They did play Carroll. Was it last year, Chris, or year before last, and lost pretty good?
Yeah, they played each other last year at the old Rangers ballpark, and it was not a close game.
Carroll just whipped him.
Not at all.
Bigger school, right? Carroll's
much bigger school. Yeah. Highland Park was towards the lower end of 6A enrollment, I think, last year, right, Russell?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, well,
and the only other thing I was going to ask, Chris, is the team for South Lake Carroll all dyes their hair blonde. I don't understand why you don't do that.
Yeah, you got that brown hair going in.
I'm afraid if I put any more chemicals in it, I might lose what I've got left.
There's not a lot left to dye anymore.
Nope.
It's a little thin.
It's getting thinner.
Hey, and listen, we're talking about Highland Park and Carroll, but don't forget, as we said, you got North Crowley. They're playing. I mean, they have knocked off in consecutive weeks DeSoto and Duncanville.
They're the third best in the state, according to according to USA Today.
So North Crowley is in there. Salina is playing for a state title, 4A Division I. They're going to go up against Kilgore. And South Oak Cliff is going to be playing Richmond, 5A Division II. So North Texas, well represented on championship weekend. Get ready, the ponies, they're headed to Happy Valley. The SMU Mustangs, baby. They're all set for their first round playoff game.
Let me see what that latest line is on that game.
First ever 12-team tournament, the NCAA.
Could you have thought a year ago that they would be in this position?
Absolutely.
No.
Going into the ACC?
No.
No way.
I thought they were on the right track, that things might work out for them, but the first year, incredible.
So they get Penn State on the road tomorrow. It's going to be cold up there. Wind chill could be in the single digits at kickoff at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, Texas time.
All right, real quick, let me ask you this. You got great seats, whatever it is, game. What's a cutoff for temperature you're saying, hey, I ain't going? Would that be it? Single-digit wind chill?
I don't know. I've always been weird. You know, one of the things on my sports bucket list is to go to a Packers game at Lambeau Field when it's, like, below zero.
So you want to do it?
I'd do it.
Yeah, that's it. So if they gave me an SMU, all right, you're on the 50. It's going to be cold. I'd do it. I'd do it, too.
I'd bundle up, and I'd do it.
My dad, I asked him that question. He said, anything under 50, I ain't going.
But this is history. It's the first year of this playoff. The ponies are in it. And if you ask them, they're in it to win it. So let's bring in the ponies beat writer for the Dallas Morning News, Leah Asimakopoulos. And Leah, in their first year in the ACC, SMU, they really couldn't have asked for anything more.
Yeah, it's been a crazy journey that I don't think anybody really expected. This is where we were going to be this time of year, but they are really enjoying every moment of it and have quite the opportunity ahead of them.
What's this week been like for the team? What have they been focused on with regards to Penn State?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they know Penn State is kind of a different caliber of opponent than anyone that they've played so far. I mean, Penn State's a top 10 team in the country pretty much every year, whereas a lot of the ACC competition they faced this year wasn't. So it's kind of just gearing up for a different level of talent. Penn State's got a tight end that is arguably the best tight end in the country, and they have a defensive end who's pretty much in that same category. A lot of guys destined for the NFL. So it's really just preparing for that, but also getting rest and, you know, ready for their, I think, 14th game of the year. So, and they might have a couple more after that. So just an unprecedented time in college football and for them.
Let's hope they do have a couple more. Tell me about the weather, though. This is going to be something that they haven't had to deal with. It's going to be pretty cold up there.
Yes, it is. It's supposed to be, I've seen it change. Sometimes it says in the 30s, sometimes in the 20s. With wind chill, it might be in the teens, but obviously very different than the 70-degree weather we've had in Dallas this week. So, you know, they've said, Coach Brett Lashley said it's not going to be a factor unless they make it a factor. It was cold in their ACC championship game against Clemson, so, you know, they're just kind of preparing to, you know, they know it's going to be cold, and really no team is used to playing home games in Pennsylvania in December anyways. It's the first year the playoff has been set up this way. So it's going to be cold for everybody, but they're not too concerned about it.
I saw something this week. They did a survey of college football experts around the country. They said, who do you think is going to win it? Who do you think has a chance? And SMU is consistently at the bottom of the list in terms of the team that they think has a chance to really make some noise in this. Can the coaching staff use that as a motivating factor?
I think so. I mean, SMU has kind of embraced the underdog mentality a lot of this season. I mean, they're a new team in a new conference. No one expects them to go to the ACC championship game, and you know, they like that. I think they've played better when they've been the underdog than when they've been favored. So I think, you know, of course, they're the last team that made it in the playoff. People aren't going to expect them to win it, but if you look at their road, you know, they win this game and they have a winnable game against Boise State next. So it's kind of just taking it one game at a time. And, you know, football is a tough schedule to play four more games in. It's not quite like basketball where you can play a big tournament. They've never really done a tournament like this in football. So it's going to be tough for everybody. But, you know, anyone at this point has a chance to win it all.
What is the key for them to stay with Penn State? What do they have to do?
Well, we kind of saw it against Clemson in the ACC championship game. They fell behind by 21 points or so very early on in the game and had to fight back, and they did, and they tied it late in the game, but it was a little bit, you know, too little too late. Clemson was able to come downfield and win it on the last second field goal. So I think a lot of it's going to come down to whoever starts stronger. You know, it's really tough to start behind in an environment like the one they're going to play in Penn State. It's a 106,000-seater stadium, really loud crowd. So if they can start strong, build an early lead, I think that's going to put them in a much better position than if they've got to fight back like they did last game.
I know you've talked to a lot of the players. Are they excited about this? They've got to be excited about this.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, this is why they play. I mean, this is, you know, you play every year to have a chance to compete for a national championship, and usually it was just four teams that did. And, you know, now it's 12, but it's still, of the, you know, 100-plus teams, a very, very small subset. So, you know, this is the dream, and a lot of them came to SMU thinking they could do it here, and people didn't really believe they could, but, you know, now they're one of those select few that are going to get a chance to do so.
We've come a long way since the death penalty, haven't we?
Yes, very much so. It's been a four-decade journey back, but they're back.
SMU beat Rutgers.
Certainly are.
Leah Asimakopoulos with us on KRLD. Kickoff tomorrow, 11 a.m., and then at 3 o'clock, game number two is the Texas Longhorns playing their first-round game. That's going to be at home against Clemson. They'll play that one down in Austin, and you can hear that one right here on the home of the Longhorns, KRLD.
And I'll tell you this.
I'm here for all of it.
I am too. If and I don't want to get too in the weeds here, but if SMU can beat Penn State, in Pennsylvania, then they got Boise State, and that's winnable.
That's winnable too.
And that's going to be in Arizona.
And you do that, you're in the Final Four.
You're in the final. Yeah, I mean, that's like, woo. I mean, they got a shot here. They got to get past Penn State.
The All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.